Rashaga. Joins us, Shaga. How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you doing?
Well, buddy, I'm just saying, were you driving today and did you not use your signal? Because guys are texting in saying that you're one of those people that doesn't signal. Is that true?
People are chirping my driving on your show?
No, they're texting me saying that at some light you were turning left and weren't signaling. I can't confirm this, so I'm asking.
Man,
so what happens when you have? So what happens when you have your logoed vehicle? Everybody knows who you are.
I would like to know. And by the way, it's a beautiful vehicle from our good friends at Sherwood Buick GMC. But I would like to know if they were texting their complaint in and driving. At the same time. So I would throw that right back on them.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, sorry if I didn't signal properly. I apologize. I don't think that I normally drive like that.
I'll vouch for you. Rashog's like super cautious. Usually we're gonna be like, hey Rashog, the accelerator's on the right. Usually that's what we say. Like
I'm a very cautious, conscientious driver most of the time. But
yeah.
I hope my mom doesn't hear that because she'll give me all kinds of heck if she finds out I made that mistake.
Oh wow, we don't want that. We don't want that at all.
Coming down on me like that for my driving. She'll take my license away like she did when I was 16.
Chicago's played 41 games. Edmonton's played 41 games.
Yeah.
Yet the Blackhawks have three times as many victories as the Edmonton Oilers.
I know. So they have three times as many victories. They've given up 50 fewer goals, and they've scored 38 more. Like, it's crazy how much better they are. I mean, flat out, right? So this is the top of the heap play, the bottom of the heap. And even though the top of the heap played yesterday, I don't know that it'll matter much. Tonight's going to be a tough one for the Oilers because this Chicago team, and they compete. Their leadership core is strong, and they compete, tired or not.
Well, yeah, and they're good. You know, the Oilers have played well against Chicago. Now they've lost the last five. I think Chicago takes them a little bit more seriously than they did a few years ago when there was 9-2 games going back and forth or 9-4s. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, even talking to the Chicago guys, you know, earlier, they still, you know, they kind of smile. They know it's going to be more of a fast-paced game, you know, a few more opportunities than usual.
And shoot, right? I mean, if you're the Chicago Blackhawks coming into Edmonton, that's the word, is just get as many pucks on net as you possibly can, and it could be points night for you. So, you know, I think the Oilers will – I don't think they're going to get blown out. I mean, I think there's some pride on the line when they play the Chicago team. I mean, the Chicago Blackhawks have some of the best high-end talent in the game, and I think the Oilers young guns want to feel like they can hang with those guys. So I think the Taylor Halls and the Jordan Eberle and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, maybe even Justin Schultz, they're going to want to show well against this other – core group of young stars. So I don't think the Oilers will get walked tonight, but they're going to be in tight because this Chicago team, they know how to win, and they know how to, regardless of how they come out and actually play, they know how to adjust and win games. And that's what the Oilers are fighting with, right? When the Oilers come out and play well, they've got a chance to win. When they come out and don't play well, they're not a team that can drag themselves back into games and find a way.
Taylor Hall had a long conversation with him yesterday. He said injuries are not an issue whatsoever right now. He did tell me something interesting in the fact that he feels he's not putting himself in good positions to use his speed like he has in previous years. You know, he was adjusting to some things. He's trying to do different things away, but it's resulted in him maybe thinking sometimes rather than reacting. He feels that the last few games combined with a little bit more consistent flow in practice has helped him. Have you seen differences in him not putting himself in a position to use that speed?
Yeah, and you know what, and I read your article there, and it was a great article, as you always write. You know, it was interesting to me that the injuries weren't in any way going to be a factor. I thought maybe coming back from that injury to his knee, maybe he would have taken a little bit of the out there, but credit to him, he's not. I think where Taylor is concerned, it seems to me like he's hitting that offensive blue line, and things aren't happening like they used to for him at that offensive blue line. And I don't know if it's because he's staying on his own wing, blazing down that left side, maybe as opposed to cutting a little more to the middle and making something happen, or, you know, I don't know specifically what he means in his game, but it seems to me like blue line in, Taylor's having a harder time. He's having a harder time backing guys off. He's having a harder time beating people one-on-one. To me, from the blue line in is where he hasn't been as good offensively. He hasn't looked as dangerous as in previous years. Like he hits that line and guys, you know, he gets the puck tapped off his stick a lot. You know, he's not beating guys maybe like he did before.
The other stat that I uncovered today looking at the Blackhawks and Oilers that was rather surprising to me was Chicago has allowed 1,203 shots against. Yeah. The Oilers, 1,234. So really not a big difference, not even a shot a game. Now,
yeah, for
the
sure.
difference is Edmonton's allowed 45 more goals than the Chicago Blackhawks, and yeah. a lot of it, odd man rushes. Shogger, you look at how many odd man rushes in a game the Oilers give up compared to the top teams. How can they stop that?
The odd man rushes. Well, I think part of what the Oilers' issue with the odd man rushes is how aggressive their defensemen have tried to be pinching to hold the puck in at the line. And so what you have is you have forwards who are trying to be aggressive on the forecheck, and the puck goes up the wall, and a D-man pinches in to try and close it off at the wall, and just a quick tap past them, and it's an odd man rush the other way. So it's about that high forward being aware. And so many times they've gotten into trouble because either the high forward hasn't been aware or it's been an ill-timed pinch. I thought that they were really, really aggressive with trying to pinch down and hold pucks in. And when you're a team that's giving up as many goals as the Oilers are in odd man rushes, maybe that's where you can back off a little bit. And I mean, before it was, if they thought they had any chance at all, they pinch. And I can't help but wonder if a better idea isn't to back off that aggressiveness a little and go if you're sure, but that it's not as often that their D-men will be pinching down. Because I think that's where a lot of the odd man rushes are coming from, are D-men pinching down.
Well, I think the D-men are pinching down, but a lot of it is if that's what you want from your coach, but your forwards aren't covering, that's, you know,
totally.
I think it's a lot of times the forwards aren't reading the play correctly. So that sometimes the defenseman's pinching at the right time, because there's no guarantee you always get it. But when you pinch, your other guys are covering. And I find too often the wingers are the ones who are in the wrong position.
Yeah, and for D-men too, like, if you do pinch down and it gets by you, you got to, I mean, take the body at least, right? Rub a guy out of the play. Like be aggressive in trying to pinch it off, but then don't dilly-dally getting back and try and take somebody out at least. So I agree with you. It's up to the forwards to see what's happening and to get back there and help out. But I think as a defenseman, you can be pretty aware. And if it looks like the forwards are all playing deep, you got to just err on the side of caution. I don't think it's too much to ask defensemen to be aware of where everybody is, be smart about it. And if you look like your offense is pressed down, just play safe. Just play it safe and back off. But they've been really aggressive this year in doing that. And as a result, you got a team that hasn't been together for a long time doing it, and new coach, new system, new this, new that, and they're just they're giving up tons of odd man rushes.
Yeah, it has not been good in that sense. And those are the things that have to improve for this team. Like outside of just the goals for and the goals against, which really I think at sometimes are just the end result of what your team is either doing right or doing wrong in other areas. And for the Edmonton Oilers, I think it's got to start with just more heady play, like thinking the game and then playing it how other teams are. Because today's NHL, sadly, is so structured. And if your structure's off a bit, you get exposed.
Yeah, you can, especially from an experienced team that plays its system to a T and that has a coaching staff that can adjust and prey on weakness. Right, I mean, that's really where when you have a team that you know is going to play exactly the way you want it to play, knows your system, then you can go in and you can spend more time worrying about keeping an eye on what the other guys are doing and looking for holes, and that's where your eye in the sky can help you out. You can adjust. When a team is just really good at doing what it's supposed to do, then those adjustments aren't that big a deal to make. But when a team's kind of all over the place as it is and struggling to get in its own rhythm, play its own system properly, and then you start asking them to make adjustments. It just these and the best teams, I mean, these core groups, Chicago, even in Los Angeles, I mean, these guys have been together for a number of years, same head coach. How long has Quenneville been in Chicago? How long has Sutter been in Los Angeles? Mm-hmm. They know exactly what they're talking about. They know exactly how to execute the system, and they know exactly how to make the adjustments they're asking for. It just... there's something to be said for having that consistent, proper message year after year with the coaching.
That helps. I think also having the players who are willing to do it. And the other thing is having a coach who has the luxury of if your top guys aren't doing it, then they're not going to play, right?
Yeah.
Because you have enough depth that you can send the message for a period or a few shifts. And right now that hasn't been the case for years in Edmonton.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It's not like they've been able to. They've got a lineup so deep that you can afford to sit Jordan Eberle for 12 minutes in a period and have anywhere near as good a chance to win the game, right? So yeah, for sure, and that comes with depth. You know, that comes. I mean, the Los Angeles Kings. I mean, goodness, if Mike Richards or if you know one of their other forwards, Jeff Carter, is not doing what he's asked to be doing, well, they got Tyler Toffoli, they got Pierce, they got these guys beating down the door to play in those offensive minutes. Whereas in Edmonton, it's just if those guys aren't doing it, you just got to wait till they start because there's not really anybody else who can do even close to what they're asked to do.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, one other quick one on like Justin Schultz.
Yeah.
You can always look at the negatives, and I understand all that. Last game might have been, I thought, the best defensive game I think he played all year.
Yeah, he made a couple of nice plays, didn't he? He's one to keep an eye on. He's really one to keep an eye on with Todd Nelson now in charge. I can't help but think that nobody on the team stands the opportunity to rebound and benefit from the change than Justin Schultz. I think for whatever reason, he just had a real hard time under Dallas and his confidence seemed to be at an all-time low and his game was at an all-time low. I think the way that Todd Nelson coaches, and he has experience with this player, right? Justin had huge success in the American League playing for Todd. I think he might be one to keep an eye on and see what his game looks like at the end of the year compared to where it looked like it was in October, November. And we'll see. You need to see it a little bit of consistency. Like you want to see Justin Schultz. He has the ability to play. He has the ability to be a very good defenseman in this league. He needs to put together 6 out of 8 games where you go, yep, he was really solid tonight. You know, he needs to go through stretches of that where he is 5, 6 good games, 1 off night, instead of just kind of being generally unnoticeable and off nights most nights. And then the odd game where we're sitting here today going, yeah, he was pretty good the other night. He needs to get his level to where he's like that most nights and with the odd off night. And I think he's playing a little bit more relaxed in this new regime.
The Edmonton Oilers clearly, I think, just based on ice time, look at Ben Scrivens as their number one goaltender right now. He's back,
yep.
And, you know, Foss played quite well, and if Scrivens had played like that loss, he seemed to get the net again. You like that decision? Clearly, this is their guy because he's got a year left in his contract, and that they'll obviously be looking for another one next summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that they make the decision that Scrivens is the higher-end goalie. He's got the extra year on his deal. I think they'll continue to spot Victor Foss in there here and there. I think they need to keep giving him some minutes, keep giving him some ice time over the next couple of months here. Keep giving him some games, Foss I'm talking about, because, I mean, who knows, right? All it takes is one goaltending injury somewhere, and now you can move him. And then it gives you an opportunity to take a look at Laurent Brossoit if they feel like he might be ready for some games towards the end of the year. But, yeah, I think they identify Scrivens as the guy they want to give the bulk of the starts to really give him a legitimate opportunity. He's going into another year on his deal here next season. And to me,
well, I think Shogger might have went into a dungeon somewhere. Uh-oh, maybe it didn't signal. What happened? Well, we were near the end anyway. Now, I will say one thing about Laurent Brossoit. First year as a regular starter in the American League, I think he needs a whole other year in the American. That's a tough position, extremely tough. And when you look at the history of the goaltending, maybe they want to give him one game for fun. But man, I hope the Oilers' plan is that Laurent Brossoit is a guy who plays even more games in the American League next year. Is not a guy they're looking at bringing up. I hope not. Otherwise, to me, be another classic case of rushing and putting way too much pressure on a young player.
You got me back?
Yeah, I think we have you back now. Where the hell did you go?
That wasn't me, by the way. I didn't drop off. I don't know what happened there.
Were you not signaling again? What's happening?
Yeah, exactly. No, on your point to Brossoit, for sure. I'm not suggesting that they bring him up with the idea in mind that he's their starter next year. But I think it could be a good opportunity to give him a little bit of an NHL look towards the tail end of the season, a few games. And absolutely, he's their starter in the American League next year. Right? That would be the idea. But there's nothing wrong with giving a guy a little bit of a taste towards the end of the year. And I don't think they'll hesitate if a deal comes along for Foss because the team gets a backup injured or they want a little bit insulate themselves a little on the goaltending front. So I don't think it'd be the end of the world to have the kid up here and give him a little bit of a look and let him know what he's up against. And he has a good motivated summer with some money in his pocket and a real good motivated sense of things.
Shauger, you have yourself a fantastic night. Enjoy the game.
Yep, sounds good, man.